From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The police officers in Sacramento, California, who fatally shot an unarmed black man named Stephon Clark last March, are not being charged. The officers who shot him say they thought he was holding a gun, and it turns out Clark had been holding only a cell phone. He was shot 20 times. Sacramento County District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert made the announcement last Friday, saying, "We must recognize that police officers are often forced to make split-second decisions. We must also recognize that they're under tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving circumstances." There have been major protests in and around Sacramento over the refusal to charge Clark's killers. Last Monday, a protest was held outside a Trader Joe's in a wealthy neighborhood. The Sacramento Bee reported that the East Sacramento location was chosen because it's one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in the city and home to many influential leaders in city and state government. Police reacted harshly and arrested 84 people there. The next day, at a city hall event, activists interrupted proceedings, angry over the arrests and over Clark's killers being let off the hook. We turn now to Tanya Faison. She is the founder of the Sacramento chapter of Black Lives Matter. Welcome to the program, Tanya.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So can you give me a sense of how the community is feeling and reacting since the announcement was made that there would be no charges?
Well, the community has waited a whole year for this announcement, and the family has waited a whole year for this announcement. And so to know that we've waited all this time and we still are back where we were, the community is angered. We're frustrated. We're tired of dealing with these situations on a regular basis in this city. A lot of people have been killed. Last year, it was 5 people killed by law enforcement in Sacramento, and 4 of them were black men that were unarmed. So the community is reacting in a lot of different ways, and you've been seeing it throughout the week at the different actions that have been held that have made the news.
It seems as though when you have such an instance where a person is killed and the police say, well, it's regrettable he was killed. Obviously, we know in hindsight he was unarmed and didn't have to be killed, but we can't charge the police because they're under a lot of stress. When that justification is raised, we are basically told that there can be no justice, that's the end of the line, that you have to accept that people will be killed for whose lives there will be no justice.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of situations, you know, in every city where, and in our city included, where someone may do something way worse than break a car window, and they still get to be brought into the jail and processed and then have their due process. The problem with this is that we have a use of force policy, and that policy allows officers to fear for their life, which is very subjective language. So you can never prove how you fear for your life, which means an officer is always going to be able to use that and get away with murdering us. And that's what needs to change. As long as that policy is in place the way that it is now, and it's been that way, I want to say, since like 1872, as long as that policy is the way that it is, we're going to continue to be killed and the police will continue to get away with it.
So we've had Sacramento authorities saying that there will be no charges, but the California Attorney General could have brought charges. Javier Becerra has also announced that there will be no charges. What could have the state done, and why do you think Becerra has also refused to bring charges?
Becerra is also going off of the use of force policy. And then also they have relationships with law enforcement, and a lot of donations that go to our elected officials come from police unions and police associations locally and statewide. Mm. And so you have these relationships, you have folks relying on these donations and this type of support. Our DA has a very tight relationship with law enforcement, not just financially, but also in a regular day-to-day business. You know, she does a lot of work with our Sacramento Sheriff Department and Sacramento Police Department. So I personally expected the outcome that we got. I expected both of those, Becerra and also DA Schubert, to come back with, we're not going to charge these officers. But I just didn't expect the DA to be so careless in how she and disrespectful in how she gave her announcement by airing private business that she didn't even get consent from the family to air.
And tell me a little bit more about that. What do you mean by that? What exactly did she reveal?
So when I went to the press conference, I didn't go inside, but we're outside watching it live. And, you know, every time that she stated something, first she stated, yeah, we had to investigate. And part of the investigation was going through Stephon Clark's cell phone, which to me is unnecessary. If you're trying to figure out if you want to file charges against the officer, you don't put Stephon on trial. So I was disgusted by that. And I thought, how disrespectful, this cannot get worse. And then in the next slide that she showed, she had a text message between him and the mother of his children. And in that text message, they're arguing, and this is 2 days prior, and she's using a domestic violence situation to justify the killing on the 18th. And so I thought, this can't get worse than this. And then she points out that he threatened the mother of his children to kill himself if they couldn't fix their issues, which is very, very personal information, not just for him, but for her as well. And so I just thought, at that point, this cannot get any worse.
So as if the police who shot Stephon Clark had any knowledge of anything on his phone, and even if they did, none of that would justify their actions. But this is a standard response that we've seen from authorities protecting law enforcement all around the country, right, Tanya? In case after case after case, Black men and sometimes women are indicted after they've been killed for things that have nothing to do with the reasons why they were killed, because it's an attempt to essentially execute them a second time round, as some people have suggested.
Right. And she also went on to imply that this may have been suicide by cop. And when asked if that was what she was implying, she didn't really answer it. She just left it up in the air for folks to assume. And so, yeah, this was a very disrespectful show of power, because, you know, she didn't talk to his children's mother to even say, hey, can I share this private information with your name on it? She said the children's mother's name several times, and she's literally trying to get out of the limelight. She's even, you know, relocated out of the city. So I just felt like that was just the most horrible show of anything I've ever seen. We've seen various situations around the country where people are disgusted, and they are disgusting situations, but this took it. This took it for me. It was a lot.
The justification is that Stephon Clark's, the cell phone was supposedly looked like a gun, and therefore the cops thought they were in danger. But wasn't this situation unfolding as one where it was the police officers that were chasing Mr. Clark?
Yeah, the police officers chased Clark. Our police department is heavily armed. They chased him into a backyard. They had a wall in front of them, and no one addressed that. They had a wall to stand up behind to stay protected. So they shouldn't have feared for their life, because they did have a means of blocking themselves. And then before they could even finish saying the word gun, they had already started shooting. So there was no warning. There was no identifying themselves. There was no time for them to see what he had in his hand, because they didn't take the time. They just started shooting. And these officers are back patrolling our streets. One of them, I saw them in a predominantly Black neighborhood not too long ago.
Do we know the names of the officers who killed Clark?
Yeah, they finally announced the names, although we got an announcement from the attorney a long time ago. But Mercado and Robinette. Those are the officers that killed Stephon. Mercado is a Black officer, and Robinette is a white officer. And I've seen Mercado in the streets already. I mean, they went back to work right away, but they implied that they were doing work, just not in a patrolling capacity. But I've seen them on the streets patrolling in uniform. So I fear for the folks' lives that are in these neighborhoods having to deal with these officers. It's common for our police department after a violent situation and after lawsuits, brutalizing Black folks to put these exact same officers back into the streets with Black folks again. So
tell me about the protests that have been taking place. The Monday after the announcement that there would be no charges was made on a Friday. The Monday after, there was a mass protest in East Sacramento, but 84 people, which is a very large number, were arrested. Among them, there was a person, a journalist for the Sacramento Bee, although he was then released. How angry were people? How peaceful was the protest? And did the police overreact?
So from between last year, where we shut down the freeway and shut down the Golden One Center, which is the arena where our Kings play.
And Clark was killed.
The energy last year was a little bit different, and it's been a whole year now for people to absorb and process and grow the emotions that they feel and strategize and come together. So the event that happened on Monday was tragic, and it was very escalated. Like, we've never seen anything like this in Sacramento. There are times when our police are very violent with us. We've had a lot of those situations over the last year, but what happened on Monday was just, it stunned me. I mean, and I'm not easily stunned. I'm a pessimist when it comes to our law enforcement and our system here in Sacramento. But at that time, it's like, you know, we had a group of people. It wasn't BLM Sacramento that organized this action. But we had a group of Black folks, young Black folks, that came together and organized this action. They had it in the Fabulous 40s, which is a neighborhood that is a really old neighborhood. It's very historic. I want to say predominantly white, but I'm going to say that it's all white. I don't know any people of color that live in that neighborhood. And it's very rich. It's got a lot of old money in it. And so they chose this area because these people are sheltered from our experiences. They go home and they're comfortable after reading the news, and it does not impact them. And I'm assuming that they did it also to inform and to broaden our base of people that are paying attention to what's going on to us. And while we were out there, because I was there, in Sacramento, we have Sacramento Police Department, we have the Sacramento Sheriff Department, and then we have the California Highway Patrol, and then we have different police agencies that police like our colleges. In this one situation, all three law enforcement agencies were there in riot gear and in full force, and I have not seen that many police in one place since Trump came to Sacramento and had an event at the airport, and I attended that. To kind of protest that. So this was we were very peaceful. Yes, we were loud and we were agitating, but we're walking down these streets and we were doing it peacefully. And we were airing how we felt. We were talking about history in the city. We were talking about how Black folks are treated in the city. And the response was very violent. So all police agencies were out there. Each agency had at least 50 or more officers with them. They were in riot gear. They abused a lot of people. I noticed that the arrest risk was high, and I was not prepared to risk arrest. I can't go in the jail. The sheriff doesn't like me. So I got my folks, and we were like, okay, let's leave. But by the time we walked all the way back to where we parked, the march was coming as well. So we had left, but then when we got to the back, the other side of the march, we saw that there was about six rows of riot police waiting to do. There was more police than there was people.
So the day after that, there was an event at City Hall, I understand, and then people were very angry about what had happened at the Monday protest, but also, of course, continuing their activism around the refusal to charge Clark's killers. So Tuesday, was there a chance to bring up the police actions to city authorities?
Well, Tuesday is when we went. I was not there, but our folks were there. Mm-hmm. And every time something happens, if it includes the city government or SAC PD, we go to City Hall and we voice our concerns. And people were able to voice their concerns. At one point, City Council walked out. They always do this, though. This is regular. They walk out on us. They don't want to listen to us.
So when people start speaking up, they just walk out?
Well, if somebody, like, they don't allow clapping. So if I say something and people like what I say and say the crowd claps, they'll threaten. They'll say, if you guys clap one more time, we're going to end this meeting. And then if it happens again, then they walk out and they say, we gave you a warning. Our city council And people say that all councils are like this, and I'm not familiar with anybody but ours. Our mayor is horrible. Steinberg is, I didn't like our last mayor, which was Kevin Johnson, but this guy is worse than him. And I didn't know that I could dislike someone worse than I like Kevin Johnson. But he doesn't listen. They look at their cell phones while you're talking. They roll their eyes, they talk, they eat, they walk to the back and get snacks and come back out and eat them. And we're not allowed to eat, and they keep us in there. Sometimes they put comments at the end, and then they talk about everything to put off the time to make people want to go home. And then we're in there till midnight sometimes, waiting to be heard. We've had families, we've had mothers of people killed go in there to be heard, and we'll make a whole event around it. And they know that the mother is in there waiting to say something, and they'll shut down the meeting. Or they'll leave, the mayor will leave early. So on Tuesday night, what ensued was is that they walked out. But since this is getting national media and our mayor has aspirations to become governor one day, they walked out, but they decided to come back in and listen to the people. And, you know, the people got to voice their concerns. But shortly after, I heard from another media source that the mayor doesn't plan on recommending that these officers get fired, because that's been what we've been demanding the last couple days, is that these officers be fired and that the mayor recommend it and that the chief of police recommend it. And he told the media, the mayor told the media, a local station, that he did not plan on recommending that because it'd be too polarizing for him.
Wow. So at the very least, the officers could be fired, but even that, the authorities are not willing to do. You mentioned that there have been five killings in recent times by police, four of which have been of Black men. So clearly this is an issue in Sacramento. We're here in California, which has this liberal reputation as being, you know, friendly to non-whites and a state where, you know, we don't do it like it's done in other parts of the country. And yet you have this situation. What's next? How does your organization, how does the chapter of Sacramento chapter of Black Lives Matter plan on moving forward?
And just to touch on what you said, the liberal racism in Sacramento is very prevalent. It doesn't look like the South. It's not blatant, but it's very, very, very rampant, and it's very microaggressive. What we're going to do going forward is continue to fight to have these officers fired. We're going to keep demanding it. The mayor said he wouldn't recommend it. I don't know what the police chief plans on doing, and I don't know what the city manager plans on doing, but whatever angle you're looking at this through, whether you're looking at it through these officers actually feared for their lives, you know, if you're buying that narrative, then the response that these officers gave should show you that they should not be patrolling our streets. They're not police material. But if you're looking at it through a more honest lens of police being able to get away with murdering us, and when are we going to get this fixed and how are we going to stop this, then they should be fired so that we start seeing consequences for the actions of officers. That way we'll know that other officers are looking at these responses they're getting from, you know, their chief and their city manager, and they're saying, okay, I need to be more careful. Because, yeah, we've been a chapter since 2015. We've been fighting since 2014. And while we've been a chapter, we've got 12 people that have been killed, and that's Black people. There was 30 people on the DA's watch that have been killed by law enforcement, and she didn't charge any of those officers.
Wow. So, and just briefly, I don't know if you saw the news that in Florida, there was for the first time in 30 years, a man that was convicted, who had been a police officer in West Palm Beach, convicted of killing a Black man named Corey Jones. Interestingly enough, that officer in question was a South Asian, convicted by an all-white jury. One wonders if a white officer might have been held to those same standards, but still, at least an officer was held to some standard for killing an unarmed Black man. Actually, in that case, that particular man was armed, had a licensed gun, and the officer was a plainclothes person, didn't have his uniform on, and so the person that he was chasing on foot literally thought that his life was in danger and tried to defend himself. So you had that one conviction, but those are so, so rare.
Right. And I mean, often when you see police officers being reprimanded publicly, they are police of color. And I don't sympathize for those officers at all. But I think it's a good reminder to officers that people that decided to join a police force in hopes to diversify it, That's not going to save us. And you're still a person of color in this white supremacist system. And you're going to be treated as such if you ever come under scrutiny. And so, you know, there was a black officer in a whole nother country, but he was charged for killing a white woman. And then you've got, you know, a child a couple of years ago, a child was accidentally shot by police, and they were black, and they got in trouble. And so you see it happen, but white officers always tend to get away with everything, even if all the evidence is out there. And in this situation in Florida, it just so happened that a tow truck company recorded the whole conversation.
Right.
We wouldn't even probably seen any of this happen if that didn't happen.
Right, because the person who was shot, Corey Jones, was on the phone with a tow truck operator when that whole situation went down. Tanya, give out a website or any other information where people can follow the work that you do.
Yeah, most of our information is on Facebook. We do have a website. It's www.insightaction.com. And insight is spelled like if someone was to incite violence. So INCITE, action.com. Our Facebook page is Black Lives Matter Sacramento. And then we're also on Instagram and on Twitter, BLM Sacramento. And that's where you can keep up with what we're doing. Follow, donate if you want to help out.
I appreciate you taking the time on your rest day to share this information with us. Thank you so much, Tanya.
Thank you for having me.
My guest has been Tanya Faison, founder of the Sacramento chapter of Black Lives Matter. We've been discussing BLM's activism over the police killing of Stephon Clark. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.